Okay, now we're on. I understand we got the thumbs up, Pete.
Do we start all over?
Yeah, go ahead. Start again.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
I think I'm David Brownstein. Good morning.
I have no idea now.
We have new microphones, though.
Oh, I'm impressed. At least we had that.
Yeah, anyway, very nice.
But it is Saturday, August 4th, 2018, about 10:06 in the morning, I would guess.
10:05:45.
Well, see that? I was very close.
Yeah.
And we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event on, and then we're on after the show.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. Also, every week, we're available live streaming from 10 to 11 a.m. If you go to our website, sapriston.com, that's SAPERSTON.com. Most devices that can connect to the internet can pick up the show live streaming. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. If you miss a show or you want to replay a show, you can pick up the show at the website. And finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
Yes, it up early, usually sometimes as early as 4:30 on Friday.
On Friday, so. Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's concise. I like the charts that they give. Gives you current interest rates and gold and from current and a year ago and weeks ago. It's very nice. And they talk about the Fed meeting and the bluster about the trade wars and the tariffs and going back and forth. And they are not a big proponent of Donald Trump, but there's not a lot of people in any kind of media that are. But I don't think I'm not saying that he's misunderstood, that people should feel bad for him, but he's just a different type of president. So,
to say the least.
Yeah.
But you know, the report is short, to the point, and we encourage you to visit the website, sapriston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Also, right now, you can also go to the website and click on the Dollar Doctor tab. And there's a live streaming thing that pops up, and you can click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box down there. So if you don't want to call the show, you can put a question in the chat box or put a symbol in there. And if you do put a symbol in, let us know if you're going to want to buy it, sell it, or you're holding it. So I do encourage you to use the chat box at the website, sapriston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Right now, all the phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. So give us a call, because we do enjoy talking to people, and it's a lot easier to kind of analyze things, you know, if you're able to ask questions and
go back. I like making things up myself.
You like, fake news, huh? But anyway. But yeah, give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
The great thing about that report, the Stone and McCarthy report, is that it's very concise, and it gives you a recap of economic happenings during the week. And it should be part of your research process. And we always say, do your own research. Don't listen to any financial show, no matter how well-touted they are, including our own. And you need to do your own research.
Well, not that you shouldn't listen. You say don't listen to anything. You know,
well,
don't take things for gospel. Don't jump blindly. And, you know, everything sounds exciting on these shows because everybody sounds so authoritative, you know.
We do?
Well, at times, you know, we can get excited and say, oh, that one really looks good. And they go, oh, well, they said it really looks good.
Okay.
Must be good.
All right.
So.
Must be.
So, you know, everything sounds good on the in the media. And, you know, so anything you do with anything that you hear, make sure you do your own research. Yeah, you know, you look into it and, you know, things will work out a lot better for you if you do your own research. That's for sure. Right now, you can give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
We're going to attempt to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning, Jack. Well, he's out there somewhere, so we'll...
He's out in cyberspace, I guess, right now.
As soon as John, our producer, gets him hooked in, put him in, and we'll talk to Jack.
Anyway, so we're having a little difficulty with the phone line, so we'll go back to the chat box. And, you know, if you are on your computer, you can go to saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page, and there's a chat box in there. And you can type in a question or a symbol. And if you do put a symbol in, let us know whether you want to buy it, sell it, or hold it. And, you know, until we get this phone situation straightened out, you know, phone numbers are 803-1520 and toll-free 800-879-7541. Anyway, it was a good week in the market. Mm-hmm. The Dow was flat for the week. I think it was flat because of the trade, you know, escalation more or less.
Excuse of that.
Yeah,
sure.
And then, you know, they kind of backed off from the Dow. But the S&P had a good week. I think it was up 0.6%. And the NASDAQ was up about 1%.
Yeah, it was a lot of Apple, think, right?
Yeah. And actually, the Russell 2000, the small caps were up 0.6%. So it was, you know, a good week in the market. And it's interesting. You know, I was kind of looking at the sectors there, and, you know, sometimes you look at what's been best for the year, you know, and what you miss is, you know, one of the really poor sectors had been for most of the year, and it's still down for the year, is consumer staples, all right?
Right.
Last 3 months, consumer staples are up over 10%.
Well, Kraft Heinz was up 6-8% yesterday.
Was it really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, that group that, you know, if you say, hey, what's the best performance for the year? You know, you can miss something that's been picking up over the last few weeks, the last month, the last couple of months. And, you know, even utilities, as I mentioned last week, have been exceptionally strong the last 3 months. And
Kraft Heinz was up 8.55
was
yesterday.
Really? Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, you know, verifies what you said. Not that we ever doubt you.
But. No, well, but anyway.
But interesting, last night it was announced. I had mentioned on this program a couple of weeks ago that the New York Stock Exchange and the regulators had declined putting together a Bitcoin ETF. Apparently, it's going to be approved now.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Anything you can make money on.
It's being... The people that own the NASDAQ, ICE, I think it's called, not to be confused with the ICE people.
But anyway.
Ready. But apparently last night I was watching CNBC. It was about 5:15, 5:30, and it came out. It looks like there's going to be a Bitcoin ETF. So that's going to throw some interesting speculation into the market, if that is correct.
Yeah, if it is. But, you know, it's not surprising that, you know, they would do something like that. So, yeah,
like I say. Don't go for it.
It's another lottery.
Exactly. So, and I guess another thing I was pointing out was, you know, somebody was talking about in late cycles, could they believe the market's, you know, the
economy or whatever, it's a late cycle supposedly, that some of the strongest sectors, believe it or not, are consumer staples, real estate, REITs, which have been very strong in the last couple of months.
In spite of rising interest rate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Energy, you know, which until real recently has been very strong. That's usually a strong sector, you know, late in the cycle. And utilities, which, as I mentioned before, has been very strong. And, you know, they normally are late in the cycle type sectors, you know. So maybe it is late in the cycle. I don't know. You know,
well,
who knows?
You know, it's all relative.
Yeah. But anyway.
Long time. No, really. Really.
No,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always see those things, and it's kind of interesting. I was looking at a couple of articles in Barron's there, and I guess, you know, as people may know, you know, Lee Cooperman, you know, who ran a hedge fund for many years.
And he came into some problems. He was investigated for some manipulation. This was about a year ago, and he beat those charges. He was... of course, everybody says they're innocent, but he was really taken aback by it. But he was found innocent of it. But go ahead. Yeah. Great hedge fund manager.
He's leaving the hedge fund business. You know, people thought that's because he's worried about the market. And he says, I'm 75 years old. He said, I don't need to be worrying about other people's money. You know, so
right. He's going to take care of his own.
He's going to do a family-run investment. I guess his right-hand man is David Einhorn. You know, the two of them are going to do their own investments for the family, you know, and that's it, you know. He's like, I don't need this stress at 75.
Right.
Of worrying about other people's money.
Right. Plus what he went through when people were accusing him of certain things.
But what I was going to say was that David Einhorn believes the market will continue to grind higher. And he says there's normally five factors, you know, that he has a little checklist for that tells him the market could be in trouble. And he says none of them are indicating anything right now.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the liquidity of the markets today.
Well, it could be that, you know, people are, why is it going, you know, it's going up, you know, I mean,
And there's no secrets, Pete. There's no place to hide.
No, exactly.
It used to be like that. You know that.
Yeah.
We would sit there and watch the tape waiting to see on Thursday afternoon what Henry, what was his name? The big bond guru, Henry.
Oh, yeah. How could I forget his name?
Henry Kaufman used to come out and say whether it's you know, too liquid, not liquid enough, the markets would wait for that on the ticker tape. We would wait. I remember that. It was Thursdays. I don't know if it was once a month on Thursdays or every Thursday, but money supply. That's what he used to talk about.
And everybody, the market used to move because of the money supply.
Right.
But you know, so these days it's other things that makes the market move. You know, it changes over the years. But one thing I found very interesting is that, and he mentioned, I think Einhorn mentioned it, is that a lot of individual investor money, you know, or the public or whatever, however you want to put it, has been going into bond funds and out of equity funds. You know, so
yeah, I was surprised by that. Yeah. This was last week that those figures came out, and I was like, I had to read it a couple times because I thought it was incorrect.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, and I've heard a number of people mention it, so it must be right. But anyway,
no, but
a number of people have mentioned it. And also going along with that, I was looking at the AAII investor sentiment,
mm-hmm.
where they do a survey and how mm-hmm. many are bullish and bearish and neutral and so forth. And the number of bulls has been dropping for the last 3 weeks. And anybody who doesn't know AAII is American Association of Individual Investors. It's down to 29% bullish. Unbelievable. So the public is probably frightened the heck of this market. That's all I can figure.
And what about the public? Are they right or are they wrong usually?
They're usually wrong.
Right. Anybody that's so overwhelmingly one way or the other, you got to take a look.
Exactly.
But I mean, but the economy is slowing down. I mean, you know, the July unemployment numbers and the new jobs that were created were very much below consensus. And although there were some seasonal adjustments and a number of different things, revisions from the last 2 months, you know, trying to put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig.
But you know, if you do too, I tell people don't pay attention.
Well, month to month, right.
Just watch what the market's doing. You know?
I just like watching the idea of watching the so-called experts and what they think. They get paid big, big money to predict these numbers. And then when it's one way or the other, it's just interesting to watch them dance around it. That's all.
Well,
not that I know. I have no idea.
Everybody's got, that's what you have to recognize. Everybody's got their opinion. It's an opinion.
Right.
Based on, you know, their perceptions, what they've learned over the years, what they think they know, you know, that type of thing. And that's the way it is. You know, nobody's perfect. At times, as we all know, somebody becomes a guru because they make a couple of good calls, you know.
Right.
But eventually they make a bad call.
Yeah.
And then you always see these people who stay predicting the same thing for years. And then when they're right, everybody, oh.
Right. You know, so. Apparently, maybe John can help us on this, Pete. Somebody on the chat box says that your mic is not working correctly. Sounds distant. So I don't know if the volume or the modulation is not up enough or whatever, but somebody said that. But we do have a couple things from the chat box if you want to. Well, they said it's the best show we've had in weeks. Anyway, there's a couple. Okay. There's a couple stocks that people are looking to buy.
Okay, hang on just a second.
All right.
I'm having my own difficulties.
All right, very good. Very good.
Internet Explorer is acting very strange, to say the least. So, but anyway, good. So what are the stocks?
One is CCMP, Cabot Microelectronics Corporation, closed at 122.50. CC, Charlie, Mary, Paul.
Okay, CC.
Excuse me. Now I'm going to get coffee.
I give up here. noticed a dead silence, right?
Okay. Well, it was down 13 cents on Friday. They're into technology semiconductors and integrated circuits, for those who are not familiar with it. And that includes yours truly.
Unbelievable. Okay, let's go back to this. CCMP.
Yes, sir.
No, I went to the normal website for the chart. It says Malwarebytes has blocked this website. So yeah, it's one thing after another today, to say the least. So.
Doesn't that remind you CCMP? Wasn't that the initials of Russia? What was the old?
Did the guy say whether he owns it?
He's looking to buy.
Oh my God! This thing has run like anything. This has run up from 46 up to 122 right now.
122.50.
Yeah, it's a new breakout, and I guess if you looked at it real quick, you know, you'd say, okay, if you're a buyer on breakout, it normally pulls back after a breakout, you know. This time, because I said that, it'll keep going.
Sure.
But I've noticed every time it broke out, it would pull back, you know, reasonably soon and give you a better buying opportunity. But it definitely is a stock in a very strong uptrend. And, you know, looking at it, I would say the support for the stock is in the area of 106, and it closed at what, 122?
122.50.
Yep. And, you know, I'm looking at it real quick. I just want to get the price objective on it. And we'll get a price objective real quickly. Or not real quickly, because it's one of those days, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the price objective, you take it for what it's worth. You know, it's based on a method that for years they've used on point and figure charts. But the price objective is 156. So, you know, if you were to buy it, you could use a stop at the 104 area.
Or if you wanted to be a longer-term investor, the 96 area. And with that potential upside, you know, it seems like the risk-reward's pretty good there. So
okay.
That one looks good to me.
Also asking about NVIDIA, NVDA.
Yeah, I haven't looked at that. I thought I heard it was struggling lately, but I'll take a look. You know.
It's very active.
Yeah.
Very volatile.
To say the least.
It's been acting a lot better, though.
Yeah, because in looking at it, and I'm looking at... I guess all the upside price objectives have been exceeded, you know, on this.
Yeah, close to 252.10.
Yeah. So I would say you got two choices on this one. You could buy it, and you'd be out at 232 maybe, or 208, depending on whether you're a more shorter-term person.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a longer-term person, you'd be out at 208. And let me see if there's another way to come up with another target
quick. While you're looking, it is a very, very volatile stock.
Oh, no
it
question.
Moves.
Well, everybody's got have different opinions on it. I've heard people say, you know, this stock's going to go up forever, more or less. You know?
Jim Cramer named his dog after the stock.
Did he really?
Yeah, his dog is named NVIDIA.
But, you know, it did break out. I don't like the fact it pulled back a little into the previous area, you know, but... Sometimes that happens. So I would actually say I would have to stop it at 208 if I bought it. Or, as I mentioned before, if you want to be shorter term, 232.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's still in a long-term uptrend, you know.
Yeah, semiconductors, they're big in the cryptocurrency and for also for graphics, which is huge. You know, Take-Two Interactive, it was up hugely on Friday. These video games, and now people, Peter, are paying coaches to teach their kids how to play Fortnite.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for the call from my grandsons.
Yeah, and looking at it quickly, you know, the next target on it would be about 272.
Nice.
You know, from here, so
nice.
So you have your support levels. You know, 236 is support. Potential stop 232, if you're shorter term, and then real good support back at about, oh, say 212 to 216. Longer term, the stop would be 208.
Okay.
Yep.
And we are having issues with the phone, so the chat box is a good place to call.
Yeah, you're going to have to use the chat box because apparently we're not able to connect on the phone at all.
At this point, hopefully before the end of the show. But Art in New Jersey is calling and asking about three stocks that he talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Art. IMMU, is the first one.
I could have guessed that.
You're right.
I bet you're one of them snap.
That's next. And it closed at 23.33.
Yeah, it's been struggling a little, but in general, recently, in the last couple days or so, or maybe the last, biotech's been very, technically, I'd use the term flaky, you know, but at any rate, yeah, biotech's been up and down, and it's been a little weak, you know, late in the week, so I think this is being affected by that. The whole bio, biotech sector, you know.
Also looking at SNAP, SNAP closed at 1273.
So looking at IMMU, okay. it's right at very important support in the 23 area, you know. So anybody, you know, I know Art, you know, he'll never sell it anyway. You know, he's going to hold it forever. But you know, somebody who was trading this or had a big profit in it would take some off if it dropped to 22. And, you know, longer term, the support for it is probably back in the 18-19 area, mm-hmm. you know. And I want to look at one other thing real quick and see if we have an upside target on it. And we'll do that. Well, I guess it's kind of exceeded its upside targets right now. But I know another person. I always mentioned it, and Art knows who I'm talking about. You know, his next target was 30 and possibly 35. So those are potential targets on it. And like I say, it would get a little questionable for somebody, you know, who's looking to buy it now if it dropped to 22. And, you know, so I would, like I say, I would prefer to hold the support here right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, somebody who's willing to take a shot at it and investigate it and is doing some research into it, you know, thinks it's a long-term position, it has good support somewhere in the 19 area, you know.
Okay. So SNAP, SNAP,
close. I don't know what to say.
1273. Well, just take your emotions of not liking it. Just
I know, because it's hurt me in the past. You right. know,
let's be unemotional about
you
this.
You have to thing. Be. You know, I hated the idea of Facebook. You know, and I still don't like the idea of Facebook, but can't argue with the stock. That's for sure.
Well, you can, but
I. Yep, and I think for years I hated Microsoft only because I
was going to bring that up, but I was trying to forget about that.
No, because I hate computers, you know. So
yes, right, sure.
As I say to everybody, they're nice when they work, but they're not very nice when they don't work. That's for sure. And after all these years, they could make Windows fix itself, you know. But
well, I'll tell you, Mac, the Apple products are unbelievable. They don't, you know, have had
But their sales have dropped off dramatically.
No, I'm just saying, though, I know. If they had a business application, more businesses would use it. They're pretty, they're very good in that
respect. We're digressing, but anyway.
I'm waiting for you to
talk about
Snap.
Snap still looks terrible, you know. What more can you say?
All right, very good.
I mean, there's no particular reason to buy it, you know, other than you might be right. You know, it's always possible. You know, the way we look at the chart, it's broken down. It broke support off to the left at 11.5. It's been a sale a couple times on the way down. And to me, it's very speculative.
So it's something technically you wouldn't touch it, but fundamentally you may want to take a little bit here or there, depending on
how you analyze fundamentals.
Absolutely,
you know, no question about it. So, but anyway, I mean, if it dropped to 10, I'd really get concerned because it's probably on its way to oblivion. You know, but anyway,
you know, for those of us that held Facebook and watch it go down 40 or 50 points, only go down 12 points is a win.
Oh, I guess when you look at it that way. And what's the third one?
Zimmer Biomet
Holdings.
ZBH.
No, why do I always think it's CMH? ZBH. Huh?
Yeah. Close at 125.91. Had a big gap up.
That's one Art will never sell. But at any rate, I'd say, you know, it's coming up to important resistance in the 130 area. So
that's its previous high. Or no, that's a target I'm just showing. Yeah.
Yeah. And plus, on top of that, it stopped there once, twice, three times. Four times, five times.
Three times
in
a lady.
130, you know, so this is the sixth time. So, you know, so it's got to break out above that. 132 would be a clear breakout, you know. And the support for the stock's probably down around, I'd say 108, 110 area, and it closed at 125. So, you know, somebody looking to buy this now, if it wasn't art, you know, would probably wait for the breakout or some kind of decent pullback, because it's really in kind of a trading range, you know, 108 to about 130. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'd look at it. If it breaks out to 132, you could have a nice runner, you know, because that's been a real nice long consolidation.
Okay.
So that's about it for those three. And what time is it anyway?
It's about 10:30.
10:30, break time? Okay, we're going to take a quick one-minute break, and we'll be right back. With the way things are going.
I'm sorry about
it's
that,
all right.
Guys. Everything's okay now. You're on air. Phone line should be working.
Okay.
Okay.
Everything's okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's totally on me.
Okay.
Don't worry about
all
it.
Right.
No,
okay.
No, don't worry about it.
I messed up something with the phone when I tried to fix the board.
Don't worry about it.
Hopefully Willard's not listening. Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. The RIA means we are also, besides being a brokerage firm, we are registered investment advisors. We do manage money, and we're able to manage your retirement accounts, 401ks, 403bs, and so forth that are held at your company. So if you're interested in our management services or just interested in our brokerage services, go to the website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, and you can get our contact information, find out a little bit more about the firm. Right now, we've been told the phone lines are working again. We should be okay, so please give us a call, 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. And as I've mentioned before, you can go to the website, saperston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor box, the tab at the top, live streaming comes up, click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page, you can type in a question, type in a symbol. If you do type in a symbol, let us know whether you want to buy it, you want to sell it, or you're holding it, you know.
Okay. We do have one from the chat box if you want to go to it. I don't know what you can do. It's about a small clearance company called 22nd Century. I know you're
familiar.
Yeah,
I know the story.
XXII is
a
symbol.
They have low nicotine cigarettes.
Right, but they're also now into cannabis.
And they're now into cannabis.
Right, and we can't,
our firm for whatever reasons, you know, I know what their reasons are. But
well, it's not our firmness. It's
not our firm. It's the people we clear through.
Right. But it's because of the marijuana, the cannabis. There's no, you know, federal oversight. Blah blah blah.
But
blah.
A lot of other people let you buy it. You know. So anyway,
smoke them if
me,
you got them.
To me, it's ridiculous.
Smoke them if
to
you got them.
It's ridiculous. But anyway,
close at $2.51.
Matter of fact, I could go off even more on that. But anyway, I won't.
All right,
But in looking at it, I mean, it's a speculation. Okay, you know, it's been a speculation for years. You know, their big thing that people kept touting was the low nicotine cigarettes for years, and this was really going to take off. And
it makes sense.
And, it sounded good, you know, and so forth. But as a speculation, you know, I mean, it closed at what, $2.51? Is that it? Yeah.
$2.51.
Yeah. And you know, so I would say if you wanted to buy it, you've looked into it. You know, if you looked into the company and so forth, and it's something that's suitable for you, it is a speculation. So realize if speculations are suitable for you and you're not putting too much money into them, you could buy it, and you would be out of it if it dropped to $1.75, you know, $1.75.
I'd buy a lottery ticket myself.
Yeah. But, you know, it is a speculation. And if it does run up.
Or snap.
I mean, the real resistance for it's, you know, up in the $4 area. So, you know, that wouldn't be bad on its own if it was able to get up, you know, from 2.5 to 4. So I know people who've been playing it, you know, and every time it ran up, I said, why didn't you sell it? You know, you could have bought it back again, you know, but
it's
anyway.
Going to a million.
Yep.
Been
anyway,
there, done that.
So that's about it for XXII. And we're going to go next or first to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hey, hi, Bob. Nice to hear from you.
You didn't count me as four calls.
Okay. We have you down there a couple times. You get the Persistence Award.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see. What was I going to say?
Can you hear Peter okay?
It was hard to hear him earlier. It's a little better now.
It's a little better? Okay. Yeah.
I think it's his voice.
I was on the line. I couldn't hear you guys at all.
Okay. We're all connected now.
To what? Okay, I don't know, anyways, but we're connected.
Yeah.
Okay, I actually have a stock for you guys.
You're kidding me. Really?
SVM.
Do it again.
Sam?
Oh, it was SVM.
Sam.
Okay. I didn't know whether it was F or S. You know, so.
No, it was F earlier.
Well. It was F.
Next.
I hate to say it. That's what I was thinking. But
victory.
Silver Core Metals, huh?
Right.
Well, interesting. It had a big run-up from, like, another big speculative one from 50 cents to 4.25.
Oh.
And now it's backed off, got down to 2.25, and now it's trying to go again. So the real key for it is it's right at the downtrend line, which has stopped it consistently, you know?
Right.
So you'd need either 350 and more, like 375, to buy it, you know?
Okay.
Unless you wanted to speculate at this price right now and figure it's going to break out. And then you would have to say, you know, the support's about 2.25. And, you know, anything under 2.25 would be problematic.
Okay.
But, you know, if it did break out or you were buying it now, your first target, if it finally broke out, would be 4.25.
And it closed at 277.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And then after that would be somewhere in the 5 to 6 area if it could keep running.
What was a 52-week high, Peter?
Don't know.
I have that at my fingertips, he said. Da-da-da-da-da-da. 343.
There you go.
Look at those numbers. There's something about those numbers. I don't know what it is.
343?
Well, the first and last are the same with one digit above in the middle. That means something.
Yeah, you're into numerology, huh?
No, I have no idea. I just threw that out. Just trying to kill time. And no, I have no idea. I'm sure it means something. I don't know what it means. So. I have enough knowledge to be dangerous.
Time,
that's the problem. Yes.
Did you catch that?
No, what was it?
It actually means 10. It means 1 in
wow.
numerology.
Oh, all right.
You add them all up.
Oh, yeah, 7, 10, and 1 and 0 is 1, yeah.
Now, another question.
Yes.
With all this trade tariffs and all that going on.
Bluster. We call it bluster.
Are they actually going on, or is it just rhetoric?
Oh, no, it's going on.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure we imposed the first ones, didn't
right,
we, on
but
China?
The effect on the economy and the Stone and McCarthy report goes into this is not even measurable.
Okay.
But that it's the idea of the bigger problems. You know, what will this bring? So, yeah, I think it's some of them were due to go on Thursday night or something.
Okay.
And it's just the idea of what could happen. And I think it's a negotiation. I think the same with the Chinese are negotiating too.
Okay.
But, you know, hopefully they're going to come to some conclusions. But if they don't, I mean, it's ridiculous. We should have no tariffs on anything.
Oh, I don't disagree with that.
Right. But nobody will do that because they can't compete.
They're protecting
fairly.
Their people.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
David and Peter, I know this would only be your opinion, but how do you think it'll affect the market for the next 6 or 8 months?
Yeah, it'll be the typical, depending on the news of the day, you know. And, you know, whatever's said on any given day, it's going
right.
to make the market herky-jerky, but I don't think it's going to hurt the market, you know.
In other words, it'll be normal market.
Normal market, exactly.
I don't think...
I called it herky-jerky, but it's
that's
normal.
A technical term,
right, another technical term.
Yeah, I know,
well,
it's
I like
tough to call.
Technical term. And gold, it's been staying where it hasn't been moving down. I'm surprised about that.
Yeah.
Well, that could show some nervousness.
And I hate to say it, you know, a long time ago, and we've been talking about it for a long time. Right. I think Dan brought up Kirkland. You know, that hit a new 52-week high.
Right.
Just keeps going.
Right, and they own 35% of Novo.
Yeah, so why is Novo not going? I don't know.
Well, right now there's 1.2 million warrants that have to be exercised by the 12th of this month.
Oh, okay.
So my guess is either going to go to 2 or 4 fairly quickly.
Yeah, but well, you know what it always teaches, and I keep telling people, you know, normally you should always buy stocks in the strong sectors, okay, the strongest stocks in the strongest sectors. But if you have a weak sector, doesn't mean you can't buy a stock, and it's telling you something when a stock in a weak sector can keep going up, right?
Right.
So.
Well, that's Eric Spratt's deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's another one for you, PAC.
PAC?
XF.
PA, what is that?
We probably can't get it.
Yeah, probably can't get that. What price is
gold closed at 1221.
Yeah, what price is it trade at anyway?
PAC XF?
Yeah.
The last I looked at it was about 50 cents.
Yeah, well, I can't pull that up. Let me try something else.
Yeah, I got another
quick.
One.
Yeah.
Yahoo Finance, it's on there.
Yeah, I know.
We only have so much room.
Yahoo Finance will put anything up. You know?
Close to 51 cent, 53 cents.
Okay. Well, that's another one in Australia that Eric Spratt, I think he invested $5 million and he owns 18% of that company now.
Chris Collins, you said? Anyway.
Say again?
Chris Collins, Australian company. No. Anyway,
what was the name?
I'll keep my opinions to myself.
All right,
Pacton Gold.
Yeah, but what's the symbol on it?
P A C X F.
X F. Yeah, I'll do it on. Well, Stock Charts has it.
Yeah,
and I kind of, you know, boy, that's not bad.
Right.
But then again, listen, people, this is very speculative.
Yeah,
53 cents. I mean, you know, not for everybody.
No.
I have to say that because certain people listen to this show.
Right. No, but I've been watching this one because they own land right next to Novo.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, and they're the third largest buyer in that area, and all the millionaires and billionaires are going after it again, so I'm keeping my eye on it.
Well, what I like about it is it just broke above the 50-day moving average.
Right.
You know,
and what happened is they were trading on the Toronto Exchange,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't getting a lot of action, even though a lot of good things were happening,
mm-hmm.
and now they're in the U.S.
Yeah.
So they opened up their market.
And it looks like resistance is somewhere up near the high 50s, maybe 60 cents.
Yeah.
And then after that, it would be up around 70 cents, you know.
Yeah, I'm watching that real carefully.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Because I'm that kind of guy.
I know that.
Don't worry, Peter. I'm going to win in the end.
I hope so, for your sake.
Well, I hope I filled some time for you guys.
You did.
Remember, count me as 4 calls.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Okay, right now it's wide open for the phone lines, 803-1520, 800-879-7541. Give us a call. We're going to go next to David in Montreal. Good morning.
Morning, guys. I'm up here visiting my daughter, and she would be interested in an ETF that would have a lot of companies like Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, Square, et cetera. Any type of... Any type of mutual fund or an ETF that might have quite a few of those in it?
Well, I don't think you're going to find ones that are going to have the financials and Square in that. It'd have to be a larger type of thing. You'd probably have to look at two separate ones. And there are financial ETFs.
With banks, et cetera, right?
Yeah, banks, brokerage, insurance, those
but
type
not,
of things.
They're not more... Yeah.
Well,
those are two very good areas.
Well, what could be interesting, and I'm going to go see if I could find it real quick. I don't know why I'm having difficulties. It's one of those days, but oh, I know. Okay, I'm talking to myself.
Yeah.
But there is an ETF that's called a momentum ETF. And I would be surprised if it doesn't have those companies in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it'll also have FANG stocks in it. And
right, oh, okay.
Like
well,
from a, right? I'm just asking.
Well, it's going to be ones that are moving momentum, and it like may end up not having those.
Like from Invested Business Daily, like they have a momentum. I think they have a momentum ETF.
Yeah, I mean, the momentum ETF's MTUM, you know. And I'd have to look up and see, you know, what's in that particular
Which
one.
Which one did you mention?
What did he do for you? Anyway, Mary Union. Tom Union. Union. Okay. And okay. M again, Mary, you know, MTUM.
Okay, MT.
MTUM.
MTUM, a momentum ETF.
Right, now let me
look. Check what's in there, and it might carry a lot of
it's
these.
Well, I'm sure they do, because you know the Visas and have been very strong. I think most of the stocks you've mentioned, Square, you know,
yeah,
that has to be a momentum stock.
Yeah,
you know,
I just did a Google search ETFs that contain PayPal and Square, mm-hmm. and there's a site called ETF Channel. I've never seen right. it before, disclosing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but it lists ETFs that are holding PayPal, and there's got to be 10 of them. So, you know, the biggest one is Momentum. Did
yeah.
you say MTUM?
Yeah, MTUM, yeah.
Yeah, that's got, well, that's not the biggest one, but it's close. The biggest one is FDN. I have no idea what that is, but that's got 4.9% of PayPal in it. Yep. And FDN, we'll find out what that is in a minute. Just
and what's
for,
the website you're at?
ETF Channel.
ETF Channel.
ETF Channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, go there, and you know.
Yeah, FDN is a First Trust Dow Jones Internet ETF, so that's why it's got some of that. And you'd have to go do further research.
Yeah, you probably would put each one of the stocks she's interested in there,
and see if
and see if they're all in one of them. You know,
right?
Yeah,
have to do some work.
Momentum,
but
I'll go through that momentum thing and
right.
see what else they have in there.
Okay,
especially the percentages.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do some work.
Some
on
work
it.
On it, but yeah.
Yeah.
The broader the scope, the easier it is to find an ETF. When you have a narrow scope of, you know, banks and a couple, you're going to have
harder,
trouble doing
but
it. But there should be something out there
something.
For you.
Yeah, no question, yeah.
Yeah, there's one with finances now, right? The finance might probably have them both, no?
You what?
Oh, the financial one would probably.
Financial one might carry
Yeah. Yeah, they might carry Visa, and they probably
Visa
do.
Right, Visa, yeah, MasterCard. They might even have a PayPal and a Square they're used in financial transactions,
too. Yeah.
So you might find one.
Yeah, I would use that ETF channel. Just plug the stocks in and see what they're in, you know, what ETFs they're in.
Yeah, she's restricted. She's restricted up here. She can't buy mutual funds.
Yeah, well, she can buy ETFs, right?
She can buy ETFs or stocks, but she cannot buy
exactly.
So
well,
let me ask you this: I don't want to know where she works, but is this an employer mandate?
No. This is a one of the big U.S. companies.
Okay, so they restrict what she can buy out of the country, or?
Well, she lives in Montreal.
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
And
got it. That's all right. I don't want to get.
Yeah. But she's limited because of the laws, I gather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But just tell her to be aware. She needs to watch these, or you need to, because ETFs are not like buying a mutual fund, and you need to be aware. I always warn people when they're buying those ETFs that they need to watch them, not just to put them away.
Well, why is that? Because they're going to change the... Because they change what's in them or
yep.
more than a mutual fund?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can. You sure? Yeah. When there's a big selling going on, ETFs have to liquidate. They just do not. They're not like a mutual fund that has the ability to borrow.
Because they're treated like a stock.
They are a stock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. They don't have the ability. They don't have the same requirements as a mutual fund to be able to borrow. So they have to sell. So you really got to watch them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the
call.
Appreciate it. Right, thank you. Okay, right now the phone lines are still wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
We do have somebody...
on the chat box?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Richard from Rochester, remember
Oh,
him?
Really? Oh, I remember
Hi,
him.
Richard. He's asking about AMD and Roku. AMD is Advanced Micro Devices, and I always put in ADM whenever I do it. I always get screwed up with Archer Daniel. Roku, R-O-K-U, he thinks they're going up. He owns them. He wants to add to positions.
Well, everybody loves Roku that gets on TV. They always bring that up, you know. And, you know, I guess the fundamental story is very interesting, to say the least. But let me just take a look at a chart on it.
I think people just like saying Roku.
Roku?
Yeah.
Well, let me just take a quick look at that. Okay, so we're going to look at Roku first. I better get going because we're getting closer to the end
of the show. Well, you're in charge, Pete.
I mean, I know, boy. It's been a tough day. But anyway.
AMD closed at 1849.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that
Advanced Micro Devices, a new Intel. That's what everybody's talking about.
Yeah, Roku. Yeah, well, we won't get it. Roku, you know, has had support short-term in the 45 area, and it just rebounded off that area. Up to what, 40, what did it close at? 46?
46, 47.
47, yeah. Uh-huh. So you just had a turn up, you know. Potentially, if you're not long-term, you'd stop it at 43. And the real support for it's back at 37 or 38. You know, it's already exceeded all price objectives. So if it does rally up, next resistance would be 51 to 52, and then after that, 56 or 57. But it looks like a very nice chart on it, and I think it's a good thing to, you know, if you've done your research on it and everything, it looks like an interesting stock here. And the other one, AMD, who used to be an also-ran to Intel, all of a sudden is stirring things up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I bought some on Thursday.
Did you?
Yeah.
And, you know, AMD had a big run-up. And you got to realize AMD in probably not even 2 months, you know, well, three months, has run up from 10, hit 20, doubled. Okay, you got to expect some consolidation, some pullback.
Yeah.
But ideally, the breakout area was around 17, 17 and a half. You'd like to see that hold. And, you know.
And it was a dog for years.
Oh, you know, no question. I mean, for what it's worth, and boy, you really take this with a grain of salt, the price target on the point and figure chart is 32 and a half. I don't know.
Sold.
Yeah. But, I mean, it broke out of, you know, a big consolidation, you know, retested that consolidation, very bullish, flew out of that. And as I said, you go to 10, double your stock in 3 months, you're going to have profit taking and so forth, you know.
I think Kevin O'Leary on CNBC, he bought, what the heck? He bought Apple. His crew made him buy Apple or something. Mm-hmm. Then they made him sell it because it had such a big run-up. He'd only owned it for, I think, a week or so. And,
really?
Yeah. And he and his, you know, his team made him sell it. So
yeah.
I mean, that's talks to what you're talking about.
But yeah, I mean, it looks very good. There's no question about it. You know, and as I said, you know, very good support should be, you know, 16.5 to 17.5 on it.
Right. And there are still people out there, Peter, that will look to buy a stock like AMD only because it's cheap. I forgot what they said. They came out the other day and said there's 250 companies or number of companies that are above $100 a share, whereas 10 years ago there was only like three or four or something like that. So kind of interesting. People like less expensive stocks.
Yeah, and if I look at the line chart, you know, it just looks very, very good. It's consolidating nicely on this pullback, you know. And if I look at, you know, where the 50-day moving average is, it's around 16, you know, so.
Okay.
So not bad, you know, not bad. I'd be interested.
We have somebody asking on the chat box, what about buying Pfizer here, PFE, Paul Frank Edward?
I'm glad he brought that up because I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the drug stocks have gotten very, very strong in here. Mm-hmm. Lilly, I think, hit a new high. Pfizer hit a new high. And you remember, Pfizer had been dead for years.
Yeah.
Years
My son
and
worked
years
there,
and years.
So I've watched it closely. It closed at 40.54.
Yeah, beautiful breakout on it. You know, you're sitting there with the 50-day is back at 37. That's not bad, you know. So I'd like to see the 50-day moving average hold, you know. And you might only get a little concerned if it dropped below 37, maybe hit 36. So that's not bad. And let me see if I can come up with a price target real quick on it. And yeah, I'm glad he brought that up because one thing I did want to mention, that number of drug stocks all of a sudden, you know, are just starting to move, you know, no question about it. So let me get back over here. And not doing too well today, anyway. All right.
We fly by the seat of our pants.
We certainly do, I'll tell you. By no way is this a professional show.
Speak for yourself. But I agree with you. We try.
Right. But
yeah, I'm having some problems with.
Are you really?
Yeah.
So you know, with the breakout, you know, it's interesting though. Pfizer has a big habit of running up, pulling back, running up, pulling back. You know, but it just pulled out of a real nice base area. You know, that went on for several months. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Don't mind me. 7 counting. 21 the bottom. So should have a target somewhere around 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that, you know, considering the risk reward, you know, and everything on it, and say 36, 4 points on the downside, 10 points on the upside.
Mm-hmm.
Looks interesting here. You know?
Yeah.
Yep. No question. Yep. And that's about it. I guess we're going to go to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Hey, Jack, you finally got in.
Well, after 50 minutes, am I on or what?
Yeah, you're on. You're live.
Yeah, and you got about 2 minutes.
Here to try.
2 minutes.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. All right. Anyway, Tesla announced this past week that it's going through money. You'd think it was New York State, the way they're using up their money. $700 million they spent last quarter.
Yeah, they're burning.
They're running out of money. So Elon Musk has a press conference and tells them he's gearing up manufacturing and they should start making money from now on. And the stock goes up $30 to $35 in one day.
And he apologized.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, it's amazing because why would anybody believe him?
I know.
They want to.
I know. Every time you think they're dead, they just keep rising.
Exactly.
I should know this, investing as long as I have. A company will declare a dividend and... then there will be a ex-dividend date, and a few days later, a date of record. I guess I'm confused about the date of record because I assume that, let's say I own the stock on the 4th, and the ex-dividend date is the 5th, that I would be eligible for the dividend. So I'm wondering what the date of record means.
Well, see, the date of record's based on when it settles, really, okay? So, so the bottom line is they're really saying – if you bought it on the 4th, all right, the settlement date, well, now is like 2 days, you know. So it'd be 2 days later. That would be the date of record, okay? So you have qualified for the date of record because you bought it, you know, before.
Oh, okay. So as long as you have it day before the date of ex-dividend.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
It has to do with the settlement date, yeah.
Okay. And then the last thing, CVS. I've owned that for quite a while. I bought it at $50. It was well over 100 at one time. I'm still doing all right. I'm getting 4% return on my original money. And it's up and down, up and down. What do you think about it? Should I keep it or what?
Yeah. What you should do is read Barron's. The David Einhorn and Lee Cooperman article, they're big on CVS. They say it's going to double.
Well, everybody is. I mean, I keep reading things, and it's been...
Because I didn't realize they're not just a drugstore, you know, so... yet the stock just sits there, you know. So I would say, you know, as long as it doesn't drop to 60, I'd stick with it.
Just hold on. Okay.
Yep.
Like I said, I'm still getting a decent dividend. And
right.
I've had it this long, so I guess I'll continue to hold.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank
guys.
You for calling. Okay, we've reached the end of the show. Have a good weekend. Everybody have a good weekend. Keep a little powder dry and do your own research, and we'll see you all or listen to you all next week. Take care.
No. All whatever. Every Saturday.